This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Cap and Company, sports talk while you're on the clock.
Having fun battling with Danny and Chris. Welcome back, ESPN 1000. Right now, 62% of you say yes. You assume it's urgent. But one of our guys on Twitter says, I think it means I only need 2 seconds of your time, not an emergency. That's exactly how I mean it.
That's one guy. Why don't you ask Joe Cowley? He's a very intelligent man. He's got lots of opinions. Ask him the poll question. Don't steer him in your direction.
Okay. I'm going to ask him the question exactly how it's phrased. The two poll questions. Hey, Joe, good morning. How are you, kid?
Cap, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing well, man. I got two poll questions for you, and then we'll get to basketball. If someone texts you, a friend texts you, I need 2 seconds, do you assume it is urgent?
Do I assume it's urgent? I need 2 seconds? Yeah, because if they need such a short time, then they need something quickly. Yeah, I would assume it's urgent.
Okay. I always use it and mean it as, yeah, whatever. I just need a couple seconds. Not that big a deal. I just got to tell you something. Like, not an emergency.
If they said, hey, I need you for a couple minutes, then I might rethink it. But if they say, hey, I need it for a couple seconds, then I'm thinking they need something quick. So it's a little more of an emergency.
Okay. And the other question is, do you carry cash?
Hell no. My hotel guy, back in my White Sox days, right before Maglio Ordonez got popped in his hotel room, my room got broken into and money stolen from my wallet. Since then, no cash.
No cash, not even an emergency. It's like a spare 40 bucks.
If you take my wallet, you're getting like $3, three singles. That's it.
Love it. All right, so basketball-wise, you've been all over this story. I said to these guys, there's literally a better chance that Danny Zetterman's coaching the Bulls next year than Jim Boylan. Do you agree?
I think what's taken shape the last couple of weeks. You know, initially when those guys got the building, you know, I reported that, hey, they were being told by ownership and by John Paxson, we really like Jim Boylan. Not that they have to make their decision based on that, but there were some big players involved in the Reinsdorf and John Paxson saying, hey, we really like Jim Boylan. But this is what people have to understand, the Reinsdorfs immediately told them, we like Jim Boylan, but we will not get upset with whatever decision you make. We want you to do your own digging on it, do your own investigation on it, Zoom meetings, talk to players, however you want to do it. And whatever decision you make, we back fully. You have that trust from us. And so I think that's why I initially reported, and obviously a situation like that is fluid. What has happened through the Zoom meetings and meeting with players and some big name players that are on the roster, it's been a mixed bag and not enough for those guys. And not even just players, just people in the building and other personnel. You know, there's been some people critical of what's happened under Jim Boylan and things that Jim has done. So I think without question, it's just a matter of timing and a matter of saying, okay, hey, we know what the season is, whether it's over come Friday for us, because we're not going to be a playoff team or a play-in team or whatever they decide, or, hey, we may possibly still play this thing, so let's give Jim an even bigger sample size to look at him and draw a conclusion. But the conclusion is drawn already. I think it would just be a save to Michael and Jerry. We gave him a fair look. The sample size might not be a full season, but we gave him those 5 extra games or 10 games, whatever the NBA decides, and we're just not seeing it. So it's just a matter of kind of tact and of how they want to do it, but I think the decision's made.
All right, and then there's quotes from Lauri Markkanen where, mm-hmm. when asked about his lack of involvement in the offense this season, Markkanen said, I had 80 touches per game the past 2 seasons. This season, the touches dropped to 40. Don't get me wrong, I had some plays drawn with me in mind, but it's just different. When I spoke with Jim Boylan, we talked about how I should concentrate on getting rebounds and then leading the break. But it's really hard to get 40 defensive rebounds. Do you feel like I do? I believe Lowry is a really good player who's not being utilized properly. Do you agree?
I think there you can say that for a couple guys. So you can say, well, Lowry, first and foremost, he's the poster boy for that. And then you go right to Wendell Carter, who I don't think was utilized like he wanted to or he should be. You know, Lowry marketing quotes, you know, it's interesting. I reported earlier in the season that Lowry, and people are forgetting this, under the current structure, meaning the current structure of the Bulls organization, Lowry did not want to be part of this thing. Well, that structure has changed. The front office has changed. And I think we're going to see even more changes from a coaching standpoint. So, hey, the fact that they brought in a foreign-born VP of basketball, executive basketball operations in Arturas, that sings to Lowry, too. So I think it's a whole different premise that he's operating on. But what people have to understand, and the other beat writers that were on the road can attest to this, Lowry at points was getting so vocal in all off the record stuff and his disdain for the offense and for how he was being used and for Jim Boylan. The PR staff was getting nervous because he was just being loud about it. It was getting to the point where, wow, I mean, if someone really wanted to, if a camera wanted to pick this up, they could have. So, I think it's a whole different Lowry. That we'll see. I think this will rejuvenate him, I would hope, and we'll see if there's a commitment to a long-term commitment of the way he's played. But there's no doubt he digressed, and there's no doubt that he was underutilized in this offense where he basically felt like a seven-foot version of Doug McDermott, just either shooting from outside or being a decoy.
So as you look at this team, and again, we don't know what this – are we going to get a return to play? I think we are. I think you agree we'll probably play. But whenever we get to the offseason and trying to retool this roster, do you think the Bulls are highly active or they're just going to play it out with what they have, get their draft picks, and wait a year before they try to really start to put their fingerprints on this?
Well, I just don't know how active they can be. I mean, they're painted in the corner by this salary and this payroll that the old front office left them. How many moving parts are there actually? Do they want to give up on Lowry? No, you're not going to give up on Lowry, especially if he has a better attitude and a better view on things. Are you going to give up on Zach, who you feel maybe has hit a ceiling? But relatively speaking, what he does and the number on the contract, don't you kind of just ride that out? Thad Young could be a piece that you look to move for a playoff team or a team that's a little more championship ready as a proven vet because his contract is pretty, it would just be a one-year thing. But, Otto Porter's picking up his player option at $28 million, whatever that is. So you're kind of painted in the corner. You still have Felicio and that $8 million. You're kind of painted until the summer of 21. So I don't see them being active because A, they want to evaluate what they have, but B, because they really just can't be. They just the way this Bulls team was built, it was built for this season and next season, and then a reevaluation of where the rebuild was.
What do you think they do with the coaching job? Do you have? Is it Adrian Griffin? Is it somebody else?
I think it's gonna be someone else. I would say keep your eye on Philadelphia.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
Keep your eye there. There'll be more clarity as this thing goes on. I think Adrian is being talked about, and Adrian is highly regarded. And I think the two guys they have in mind, both of them are can't-lose situations. Both of them are highly regarded. Both of them are guys that are long due to take over a team and be a head coach. They both come from great pedigrees as far as the coaches they work with. So I would say keep your eye on Philadelphia, keep your eye on Toronto. I think it'll come down to those two. Obviously, something could always change, but the idea of Kenny Atkinson and things like that, I don't think they want that. I think they want someone who will come from a place that they feel comfortable because they've worked with this guy, they know this guy, they know this individual, and there's no ego involved, and both of these guys are player-first coaches. So stay tuned on that front.
Yep, I completely agree with you, and I do think it's going to be someone that has a significant tie to Eversley and someone that he could put his Arturas is the decision maker, but I think Eversley's going to have a chance to put his fingerprints a little bit on this hire.
Yeah, Eversley, I don't think it's any secret, is really close to Duque, and there's a lot of people that I've spoken to that feel that this guy is and like Adrian, is more than ready to be a head coach. So I would definitely say keep your eyes on both of those organizations moving into this playoff and realizing that, you know, the Bulls, they kind of have an idea of who they want and how they want this to play out. And it's just a matter of it playing out where everyone's the most comfortable, where, you know, I know everyone wants, well, why not just fire Jim today? Why not fire Jim today? Why not fire Jim today? That's easy to do, but there's so much uncertainty. You don't know if you have to go play five more games. There's no one on that staff that's ready to be an interim coach. So you let those five games play out, and then you could go to ownership and say, hey, I know it's not the sample size you guys want, five games, but, you know, we saw what we needed to see, and we felt comfortable with this decision. That's all. That's how this thing ends.
Yep.
And it's fair. And you know, like they're examining every department, they want to at least be able to chance to put their eyes on the person before they go ahead and make that decision official. But it's all but done.
Yep, completely agree, 100%. Last thing, do you feel like the last dance is actually a good thing for the Bulls? It's got them back on the landscape. They've got this brand new, you know, basketball operations staff. They're going to have a new coaching staff. And you know what? It takes one match to start a fire was how the line went in The Last Dance from MJ. Okay, who's going to be that match? Because you guys can see what this can be.
Yes and no. Okay, the most beloved people or the most popular, the greatest players in this organization are estranged to this organization right now. That's a problem when it comes to free agency. When free agents can say, okay, your guy, you got the statue of Michael Jordan, but he really doesn't like this organization. You got Scottie Pippen, who might be your second best player, and guess what? You fired Scottie Pippen from his job at the beginning of the year. And then Jimmy Butler is probably third, fourth, fifth in that area as far as two-way players, and he's got an issue, and Joakim had an issue. So, you know, exactly what's going on here. But the good thing is it's kind of shown that maybe things are now changing. Maybe it isn't this kind of ancestral hires that we've had and the same guys doing the same thing. They went outside the family now. They brought in Arturas, a guy who wasn't a Bulls guy. They brought in Eversley, a guy who wasn't a Bulls guy. So maybe things are changing. So I could see both sides being played as a positive and a negative.
Yeah, I think people, there's more, what's the right way to put this? There is more optimism among the fan base than we've seen in a very long time.
It reminded the fan base and the globe how great this brand once was and should be. And it should raise the bar to the Reinsdorfs and remind them that you can't sit on those six Larry O'Briens and say that was good enough. There's got to be more.
And I think, again, I don't know if they'll ever win again, but I do think they're headed in the right direction for the first time in a long time.
I would say things are better than they've been since they fired Tibbs. This is as good as the Bulls have been as far as positivity moving forward.
Hey, man, thanks. Keep up the great work. Follow you all the time.
All right, Cap. Thanks, buddy. You take care.
You too. Be well. There he is, Joe Colley, Chicago Sun-Times. Does a great job on the Bulls beat. Are you that excited about the Bulls, Chris? Do you look at it now? You've always wanted change. You got change. You more fired up than you've ever been?
Yeah, I mean, this is what should have taken place a couple of years ago. This is exactly what they should be doing. Absolutely. Fired up. I mean, let's win some games first, but
let's get some players.
Yeah.
All right, got to take a quick timeout. The MLB's ridiculous proposal that will be rejected by the players, but it's progress, I think. We'll talk about it next.
Ladies and gentlemen,
you're listening to Cap and Company. Follow us on the gram at Cap and Co. and ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Welcome back, ESPN 1000. Danny and Chris, I'm David Kaplan. Having some fun today. 312-332-3776. Completely concur with what Joe Colley has said about who might be the next coach of the Chicago Bulls. I can just tell you it's not going to be Jim Boylan. That decision has been absolutely made. He is gone. No chance he's coming back. And they are looking at Adrian Griffin. Emi Udoka is a name in Philadelphia that has ties to Mark Eversley. So there's a couple of really good candidates on that Philly staff. I mentioned Adrian Griffin. So they're going to get a really good, young, up-and-coming coach, and they're going to try and build this thing the right way. They have talent on that team. They need to add more. But I still think there's a whole lot more to get out of Lauri Markkanen. I just don't believe he was used properly. And I don't think he likes playing for Jim Boylan. In fact, I know he doesn't like playing for Jim Boylan. And I think change is in the air in a big way, not only on who the head coach will be, but how they're going to run their system and utilize their players.
Let me ask you guys this question. We don't know what the NBA is going to do to come back, but we assume that they will at some point this summer. The NHL has said 24 teams. They advanced this play-in round. Then if you win your play-in round series, you get to the, in air quotes, playoffs.
Yep.
So the Blackhawks are involved in this. If the NBA adopted the same type of idea where 24 teams get in, because Adrian Wojnarowski was on SVP last night saying that he doesn't think it's going to be 16. He doesn't think it's going to be all the teams. He thinks it might be somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, there's some people pushing for all the teams because if you play 70 games on your regional sports network, you get all your money, and the Bulls have only played 65.
Right. So whatever that looks like, whatever they decide, the Hawks are already in. If the Bulls are included, which team would you guys think could go farther in this new playoff reality?
Blackhawks.
You think it's the Blackhawks,
yeah,
not the Bulls?
Yeah, 100%. Bulls are a bad basketball team.
The Blackhawks have guys on that team that have Stanley Cup experience.
Well, and they also have an elite goaltender and one of the three or four best players, five best players in the sport, Patrick Kane.
Well, those are the guys I was referencing with Stanley Cup experience.
Yeah, and having a goaltender who could get red hot and carry you. Who do the Bulls have that you go, yeah, they're the 24th team, so they're going to get the number one seed? No shot.
Well, here's another question, though. When the NHL playoffs begin and the Blackhawks are playing, we're going to have interest in watching them, obviously. Mm-hmm. If the Bulls have to finish out the stretch to get to 70 games, would you even have interest watching them play meaningless basketball? I personally would not. It would be a tedious task. Because of what we do for a living, I would put it on because I'd have to know. But I don't think fans that have the choice to watch or not watch want to see the Bulls finish out the stretch just so Comcast Sportsnet or NBC Sports Chicago gets their 70 games.
Okay, what if they said it's a 24-team tournament and the Bulls are in? You'll be excited by
it. Well, that's playoffs, though. Like, anytime a Chicago team's in the playoffs, there's a heightened level of interest. But what Damian Lillard came out yesterday and said, listen, if I don't have a shot at being in the playoffs, I don't want to play just so the Blazers play enough games to fulfill the regional sports network deal. So my question is, if the Bulls have to finish out to get to 70 games, would you guys even be interested in watching that product?
I like basketball, so I would, but I completely understand that the majority of people might go, yeah, I'm tapping out.
You can't advance, right, Danny?
No, it's just, I don't know how many.
Just to finish out those
games. Let's
say
they've played 62 games at this point. They have to play eight more games.
They played 65, right?
Okay, whatever the case may be. Uh-huh. They have to play five more games to get to 70, so NBC Sports Chicago gets their rights deal.
Mm-hmm.
Are you really interested in those five games?
I'm a freak, so I am, but I would say the majority absolutely are not.
Yeah. I would say if you could play for something, then absolutely. But if it's only to get to that number and then take your ball and go home, then I would say, yeah, most people would probably say, I'll come back next year because I don't really care that much. If there's something else live sporting going on at that time. Now, if this is the only thing on, absolutely. Everyone will watch. We've seen it. I mean, guys who are former NFL players playing golf this weekend did huge numbers on cable television. So, you know, if you have live sporting events, as long as they're playing for something, even if it is play out these games, but it's a round robin with the other teams who can't be involved in the playoffs to figure out the lottery, the draft lottery, that might be interesting, right? Like if the Bulls could say, if they told the bottom feeders of the league, hey, we get it. The playoffs, you're not involved. But for 1 year only, if you win a round robin tournament play with the other bottom feeders, for the top three seeds in the draft, I think Bulls fans would be all in on that.
I agree.
Right? And then it'd be cool because no longer you can't complain about tanking, right? Because now the Knicks and the Bulls go on out there. If you want the number one draft pick next year, go win it. Zach LaVine, you think you're an all-star? Go win it.
Go get that pick.
Get some more help. That'd you know what I'm saying? Like, that would be really cool.
That'd
people
be
would
really,
be in on that.
Really cool. Really cool.
And then you get guys like Dame. I get it. He wants to play in the playoffs. But the Blazers, probably the best team that would be left out of the playoffs, have a shot at landing the number one pick. I think his attitude might change a little.
No question. I asked Joe Cowley the question, when do you think the Bulls will get aggressive and start spending money and making moves to put their stamp on this thing? They don't have a lot of flexibility payroll-wise. Right now, going into 2020-2021, so next season, they have $106 million in contracts. That drops to $65 million the next summer. Do you know in 2020...
Yeah, you have to wait for Otto Porter to come off the books.
Correct. He's got an option at $28 million, which he'll obviously pick up because he hasn't got anybody that's going to be banging his door down for that kind of money. But do you realize after the 2021-2022 season, as they start to retool this organization, that's right around the corner, not far, they only have $1.9 million on the books. That's it. They got one guy, Coby White.
Yeah, but that's a bit misleading because you have two players.
They have $9 million. $9 million.
They have two players who you almost automatically assume will get new contracts, Wendell Carter Jr. and Lauri Markkanen.
Correct.
So, yes, technically you don't have money dedicated on the books past that point, but you're not going to let Lowry and Wendell Carter walk for nothing.
No, correct.
So you kind of have to assume those are two individuals who are going to get pretty decent contracts.
They're going to get paid.
So you have to account for that too. But you're right, Cap. Once you get the Otto Porter Jr. money off your books,
you have to make
a decision with Zach LaVine and how you want to kind of structure this team going
forward. Because he's making 19.5 right now.
Yeah, which is actually a pretty good deal for a player of his caliber.
Correct. And he is going to get paid if he keeps averaging 25 points a game. He's going to get money. But you're going to have some guys fall off the books.
Thank God Felicio will be off the books finally.
After next year. Do you realize?
My Lord.
Cristiano Felicio this year is making $8.1 million. Next year he makes another $7.5 million. All guaranteed, mind you.
That has to be the worst signing in Chicago sports history. That contract.
Might be.
He's not a league player. He's a G League player.
Yeah, he's not an NBA player. Now, what Gar Forman, and he loved him. What Gar Forman thought giving him $32 million guaranteed is literally insane.
It's the worst.
Insane. You look at it, and you've got, some decent players otherwise on that roster. Some decent players. Coby White could be a really good player. Lauri Markkanen could be a good player. Wendell Carter could be a good player. Zach LaVine is an outstanding player. Thaddeus Young is a solid veteran player. He's 31 years of age. Then you look at the rest of that roster and you go, Daniel Gafford? Okay. Shaq Harrison? Okay. Luke Kornet? Okay. Chandler Hutchinson? Ryan Arcidiacono? Great guy. Denzel Valentine? Can't play. Chris Dunn? Not really. Satoransky, he's okay. I like Satoransky as a rotation piece. He's not a star. You got to get the $28 million of Otto Porter off the books. That's one of the worst trades we've seen in Chicago sports in a while. So I sign Jabari Parker, but it's a one-year deal. It didn't work out. Okay, whatever. I had the space. Get rid of it. Let me see if I can get 2.5 years of Otto Porter. 2.5 years of his money.
And don't forget, a part of that story is they justified doing that trade because then they wouldn't have to worry about the pressures of going out in free agency and trying to fish for one of the big fish out there in the ocean.
Because they said, we won't get him.
Right. So they cut their losses early to say, we're not going to take an L in free agency because we used our money on Otto Porter.
Correct.
It's ridiculous.
Right. We want to make sure nobody says anything right. bad about us that we couldn't get a free agent. So
they intentionally went and got someone to eat up the cap space that they were waiting to use. That, oh, it's crazy.
Things are changing, kid. Quick timeout, MLB proposal, and your thoughts next.
This is Cap and Company.
Missed something? Podcasts are ready on the ESPN Chicago app.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000 with Danny and Chris. I'm David Kaplan. 312-332-3776. So the MLB proposal from the owners to the players is being roundly mocked in the players' quarters. They'll come back with their own proposal. I think it's all progress. They're talking, and I think they're going to get a deal done. It won't be a revenue share. There will be payments. It will be more than they were offered yesterday. Not a ton more, but there'll be some progress, and I think we'll get baseball back. I'll be very surprised if we don't. Here's Jeff Passan on SportsCenter last night about yesterday's offer.
Listen, this is not just the highest paid players who, under MLB's proposal that was given to the Players Association on Tuesday, would see the largest pay cuts. This filters all the way down to the lowest levels, to the guys making $563,500, the minimum salary this year. Because every player who comes up at that salary believes he too someday could be a $35 million a year player. And he sees the amount of money that Major League Baseball is asking those players to take via pay cut on top of the 50% pay cut they already were going to take via a prorated salary. And my friend Jay Busby put it really well on Twitter. He said, this is a Rorschach test. Either you see somebody who is making $8 million to play a game for a few months at a time, or you see a guy who just got asked to take an 80% pay cut. And that distinction is going to be really interesting to see with the fallout here, because this, Scott, has galvanized the players. They are uniformly together on this in the idea of outright rejecting this proposal from Major League Baseball.
So if they're outright rejecting it, which is they're right, how close can they get? Can they get a deal back where the players go, we'll do this, and do the owners say, okay, we're in? Is it miles apart that there's no chance it's going to work? Here's Passan how he feels about this offer.
I see a first offer that went too far. And I'm not sure what the calculus was behind this offer. Listen, first offers are always going to be a little bit outlandish. That's what negotiating is about. And I think we have to understand that. And it's why today I'm not sitting here saying there's not going to be a Major League Baseball season. The big question, Scott, is how the Players Association is going to respond to this now. Are they just going to sit back and say, you know what, this doesn't even warrant us coming back to you with a proposal? Or are they going to use this and say, now that we have all of our players working together, now that we have the force of them behind us, we're going to go and ask for what we want. And we're going to go and try and put the pressure on Major League Baseball, knowing that the league ultimately, like the players, wants to play baseball games.
So, after you hear all of that, are you more convinced they're going to play? More convinced they're not going to play? 312-332-3776. Danny, are they going to play?
Nope. They're not going to play. Listen.
So, you believe based on this, or
based
we
on
will
this,
not have baseball?
Based on this, the fact that the owners threw this out. Now, listen, I understand how negotiating works. And there has to be a starting point, and then the players come back, and then the owners come back. The starting point the owners threw out yesterday is insulting. It's insulting. Mike Trout to get two-thirds of his salary. Listen, I understand that the lower pay.
Get two-thirds he gets makes?
He would lose two-thirds of his salary. He would lose 80% of his salary. I understand that the guys that make less would get more of that portion. No offense to them. people tune in to see Mike Trout. If the Angels make a World Series run, it's because of guys like Mike Trout. Mike Trout makes what he makes because he has a unique skill set that nobody else has. And for you to say, hey, Mike, I know you're playing a game, and I know you get paid a lot to do so, but we're going to keep 80% of that, are you cool with it, is insulting. Now, when Blake Snell came out and made those idiotic comments, I was anti-player. When Bryce Harper supported Blake Snell, I was anti-player. After this part of the negotiation yesterday, this proposal from the owners, I am pro-player. This is insulting. Would you come to work tomorrow if our bosses said to you, hey, Cap, you make a lot of money to talk on the radio. We're going to need to keep 80% of that. I doubt you would. And I doubt that anybody listening to my voice right now could hold that against the players if they didn't want to play, put their lives at risk. Listen, this is still a real thing, the coronavirus. We still don't have a vaccine. They still are playing a game, putting their lives at risk, surrounding themselves by other people for a price. And you're asking them to put their lives at risk, and you're saying, we're going to keep 80% of your salary. It's when I saw Passan and Jesse, and good job to Jesse and Jeff for getting this story. When I saw their story, I thought to myself, boy, if this is a jumping off point, this is 1994 all over again. We are not going to have baseball. And I wouldn't blame the players if they said, listen, our health's too important to us. You're trying to keep too much of the pie. We're out. And that would be a huge loss to baseball, because you're going to have basketball playing during baseball season. You're going to have hockey playing during baseball season. The NFL, it sounds like from everybody, they're coming back on time and they're going to be ready to play. So the biggest losers are going to be the baseball teams, the baseball owners, and unfortunately from this, the baseball players.
The interesting thing will be to see what the next step is from the players.
Well, I mean, like Mike Trout, you're telling, the owners are saying to Trout, hey, we're going to keep 80% of your salary. So now the players have to come back and have to say, no, we want 80% of our salary. You keep 20%. I mean, that's how the negotiation's going to work. And the owners are never going to buy
that. Yeah, except they're on a time crunch here.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, you cannot, at this point, you cannot, like Mike Trout is slated to make $35 million, right? Mm-hmm. Under this proposal, he would make $7.84 million. He went from $35 million to $7.84. And I understand not everybody's Mike Trout. He's the extreme. Let's take a middle-of-the-road player, the average guy that's making $10 million a year. He would go from making $10 million this year to only making $2.95. That's a big jump. That's 66% of his salary they're keeping.
That's massive. And again,
like, and I know people are furloughed and people are taking pay cuts and it's affecting us all. But how many people have taken 60% pay cuts? How, you know, we hear 20-30%. You know, Theo Epstein took a 35% pay cut. You don't feel bad for him, but it's still a lot of money. This is a 66% pay cut, almost double that what Theo took. That's ridiculous. That's unfair negotiating.
So I'm curious to see what happens when the players. And they had to know this was coming. This can't have been a shock to them that, yeah, we expected this. It has to be. And so they've expected it. Now what is their stance going back? Nope, we're only going to take what we agreed to in March. Well, then we're not going to play. They're smarter than that as well. They're going to come back with a proposal that gives them less money but allows them to defer some of the money that they're owed. That's what I seems like a very simple solution,
but
and I don't understand why that would be a problem.
Because deferring money means you're going to have to make that up at some point. So like, they're in a hole this year of debt that's going to take them years to dig out of. Mm-hmm. So you're expecting MLB teams to dig themselves out of this year's debt and then add more debt onto next year when they're still going to be behind.
What if they,
we're going to pay
you with interest, but you're not going to get paid your money till 2025.
But what if they can't make that money back by 2025? Like teams like the Cubs that thrive when they can sell out Wrigley and the summer's beautiful and Wrigleyville's happening, they'll be able to hopefully make that money back by 2025. But look at the small, look at the Kansas City Royals. Maybe they're never going to make that money back.
They're in trouble.
So now they're on the hook to pay back players that are no longer on their team, money that they owe.
I would love to know what teams, if they had it, had, I won't call it pandemic insurance, but a force majeure insurance policy that if there's a catastrophic event, your stadium burned to the ground, whatever, that it insured them against future losses. I'm curious to see what people had. I would love to know the answer to that. Don't know if they'll ever answer that question. Would love to know that answer. 312-332-3776. Do you see the owner's perspective? Are you all on the player's side? Are you not on the player's side? 312-332-3776. Be right back.
This is Cap and Company. Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Hey, Danny, this hour is brought to you by Weedman. Don't let mosquitoes take a bite out of your summer. Go to weedmanusa.com today. 312-332-3776 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones. Kevin's in Lakeview. Hey, Kev, what's up, man?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
How you doing, kid?
Can't complain. Going for a nice long walk. Just want to say this is a great conversation for both the owners and the players' side. This is really kind of bringing maybe not everybody, but myself into like the depths of negotiations and how the players and owners react to one another, even during a crazy time like this. But one thing I wanted to ask was, I don't know if it was Danny asking us in about Trout. I'm not in the same boat as everybody's going to watch baseball because Mike Trout is playing. Everybody's going to watch baseball because XYZ player is playing because of that. I want to see my team play. I want to see my team win. And I think if the Angels or some small market team like Kansas City again or whoever really starts bringing these great games to tradition, it's going to be good for baseball and also good for small-time players in the long run. But, again, there is some things you need to know better about what's going to go on with contracts, how they're going to get paid, because it's the craziest time I've ever seen for sports and probably ever will. Just want to throw it out there. Appreciate the time, guys. Talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, Kevin. Thank you very much. Look, most people are watching because they want to watch the best. Yes, they like their team, and we would cheer for whoever the nine guys are in a Cubs or White Sox uniform. But the majority of people, they're going to watch the Angels, they want to see Mike Trout on the field.
Let's be honest. They only televise a certain number of spring training games because nobody cares to see player number 76 on the roster.
Correct.
We want to see Chris Bryant, Javi Baez, Anthony Rizzo, and they play an inning or two, and then they're out.
Correct. When you look up and you go, oh, John Lester's pitching, I'll watch this. Kyle Hendricks, I'll watch. Who's number 87? Some guy that's going to start in Double-A. You're like, yeah, I'm tapping out. So I get his point, but most people want to watch the best of the best.
Plus, baseball is not a national sport like football or basketball. We watch our teams. You're going to be hard-pressed to get me to sit down to watch an Angels-Mariners game, but I might put it on if Mike Trout's up to bat.
Correct. You might be like, hang on, let me just see him bat. I get it. Back to the phones. Denny and Homer Glenn. Hey, Denny, how you doing there, man?
I'm doing all right, but it's gotten down to where, screw the players. If they don't want to play for millions of dollars, they're going to play an 80-game season, but they want to get paid for 162 or whatever. It's like, I don't like it at all.
Well, they've already agreed to take a prorated share, which they said was the deal. And so the prorated share would be 50% of their salary because they're only going to play 80 games. And now they want more cuts, the owners do, because there's no fans. So let me ask you this question. You said, screw the players. Why do you feel more in line with the billionaire owners than you do against, and you're more against the millionaire players? Let me say it like this.
I'm against the entire thing. What I want to see happen, we've gotten away from an awful lot of stuff recently that we all found out we can live without. So I'm okay with them canceling the entire season. The owners get nothing. The players get nothing. The players don't want to work for this. They want to be another year closer to retirement with no money. Let them make no money like a whole lot of other people who are out of jobs right now, and then everything's an even playing field. But for them to sit there during these times to say, no, I won't play for $30 million, I won't play for $15 million, I need to have this million, do they not know what the hell is going on right now? So let them all not play, no games. We can get through the summer without it because, frankly, seeing the Cubs or the Sox get into the playoffs on an 80-game season with asterisks all over it, it's like kissing your sister. Don't care.
Thanks, man. Appreciate your perspective. Have a great day. 312-332-3776. Dennis is in Downers Grove. Hey, Dennis, what's up, man?
Hey, guys, good morning. Cap, I got to go with Danny on this, probably 70-30. You know, I don't know the whole negotiation deal, but I do know that it was very insulting, I think, what they threw at the players. And I don't know, if I was negotiating and somebody insulted me, you know, I almost would not give up, but, you know, I wouldn't want to hear, you know, I just wouldn't trust them. That's why I think they were so far off that I agree with Danny. Real quick, Cap, by the way, I watched the Cubs game again yesterday, and even watching after they won, Madden still made me mad. I'll hang up, Cap.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you. I was texting with Anthony Rizzo, and he said he was in his kitchen. This was a few weeks ago when it was, they've run it 10 times in the pandemic here. And he said, he literally stopped and said, throw a slider. So it was funny because you saw the fastball come to Rajay Davis and hit it out. And you still get stressed. You still get stressed watching it, even though you know you won. 312-332-3776. Let's go to Mike in Portage. Hey, Mike, what's up, man?
Hey, Dean. Got a quick question for you.
Yep.
Which proposal, I know it's a whole lot of math involved, but which proposal, the original one that everybody shunned at, the 50-50 revenue, or this one here? When I say which is better, is there more money coming out of the owner's pockets with this proposal, or would there have been more out of the owner's pockets with the original 50-50 proposal?
Well, the 50-50 proposal, we didn't, and the players said they don't know how much revenue, and appreciate your call, Mike. Thanks for listening to the show, man. The players said we don't know how much revenue is going to be there, and the owner's point was, yeah, neither do we. So if we make revenue, you could share in it, 50-50. But the players rejected that because they don't feel like they can trust the numbers. They don't get access to the books. So they would never really feel like they were being that's because there's been so much mistrust. Salaries coming down when revenues are going up. There's been collusion cases. You've had so much mistrust on both sides. And that's why that plan would never work unless the books were kept by an independent auditor and those things were kept open and they had access to them so they knew everything coming in. And that's just never going to happen. Like when the Tribune owned the Cubs. Well, they took the money. They charged a microscopic TV amount to WGN or WGN Radio. And then they were making hand over fist, but they didn't have to share it because it was TV revenue. It was the radio station's revenue. It wasn't the revenue of the baseball team. So you could never trust the numbers you're getting. They knew how to play the game. 312-332-3776. David is out in Arizona listening on the app. Hey, David, what's up, man?
It's Gator, man. Gator in Arizona.
Oh, Gator.
Hey, yeah. So, listen, I just heard you talking about TV revenue. So, basically, that's the point I want to make. I have two little points I'm going to hang up. For one, more people can't go to the game. With nobody can go to the games now. So why don't you do a contract with the TV and radio revenue? Because if there's no fans at the game, guess what? They're going to be watching the TV. So now there's more broadcasting and more ratings for the television. And two, why they just can't – what was that one player from the Mets? What do you get his salary prorated? You know, just prorate this whole season, give it to the players on the back end of their contract or whatever, work out somewhere. You guys still get all your money, but we just give it to you on the back end of your contract or later down the line when society get back up running.
Yeah, that's,
I hang up and listen.
Appreciate it, David. That's what I was talking about. I know Tommy Waddle has talked about deferring the money, figuring out the interest that works and paying these guys, you know, 3, 4, 5 years down the road if they would go for that. Not sure that the owners want to assume more debt where all of a sudden they look at their books like, well, hold on, we got $40 million more in payments we got to make in a couple of years. So that sounds at this point like it's a non-starter, but that could end up being part of a negotiation. In terms of the TV deals, the TV stations are struggling, just like radio stations, to sell advertising. They're not going to restructure deals to give more money to the owners when they don't know if they could sell the advertising at the rate that they're paying now. So that's a non-starter. They're not going to break those contracts. All right, we got to grab a timeout. We'll crosstalk with Carmen and Yurko in 2 minutes.